So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that you are here, that you are here by your Spirit, that we can spend time with you, that we can know you and be known by you, that we can love you and be loved by you. And we pray, Lord, today, Lord, that you would just reveal more of who you are to us. And Lord, that you would take us on to the next level. Lord, that you would just challenge us, convict us, encourage us, and spur us on into your embrace and into the amazing things that you have planned for us. Just teach us today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I know it's a bit of an old film, but has anybody seen Coach Carter? I see some nods, so I'm not going too far back. That was what, in the, about 2004, 2005, that type of time, so it is a good number of years old now. But it's a story of a successful basketball player who has come from a real tough, deprived area. And after achieving amazing things, he has a heart to go back to the school that he actually started in and to be their basketball coach and to face the challenges of them and the mentality of the students at that school. And he comes to bring in a new philosophy of respect, where he calls people sir, where he sees that they can actually aspire for more than simply being the next drug dealer on the street. They can aspire more than ending up in prison or being in a back-end job that leads nowhere. Where they can have ambitions and actually want to achieve things in life. Where he can give these young lads hope of a future. And he keeps asking them, what is your greatest fear? What is your greatest fear? And we hit a point in the film where he's pulled the plug on them playing because they're not reaching their standards in that academic work that he's set them, because he wants them to achieve academically, not just on the basketball court. And unfortunately, the board of governors and the parents actually challenge him and actually overcome him. And he's on the point of resigning. Because he's like, I believe in more for these lads. And this is the response from the lads. So we can just put this.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as we are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others. Sir, I just want to say thank you. You saved my life.
Thank you, sirs. All of you.
What got me about that clip was that that guy revealed that his greatest fear was to shine, to actually stand up, be counted, and step above the crowd, to stand out, to actually achieve things that his contemporaries wouldn't. Not to live a life in the grey, not to live a life in the background, but to step up and have ambition, and to actually believe that he can actually make a difference in life, and that that would actually have an effect on those people around him. And what I'm going to be talking today about is this whole concept of stepping up. To step up and be counted. Now, fear can inhibit us from stepping up. And when that passage, that clip was talking about, he was saying that we can shine. And that just reminded me of the passage from Matthew 5:14-16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city on the hill can't be hidden. Also, people do not light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. Then it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine in front of others. Then you'll see the good things. Then they'll see the good things you do, and they'll praise your Father who is in heaven." Now, if we begin to shine, people will actually start to notice. Now, we look back in the Old Testament at the story of Moses. And Moses was called a friend of God. He met with God. And after meeting with God in the tent, he shone. And he ended up putting a veil over his face. And why did he put that veil over his face? Well, part of it probably was that he didn't want the attention. Going round shining, you may get a bit of attention. But at the same time, maybe he didn't want people to see when the light started to diminish, when he no longer shone. And that's the thing, is if we start shining for God, and then we make up a mess up of things, how do we deal with that? And because of our thinking, "I'm going to just mess up," we end up deciding, actually, is it worth shining? Or is it best just to stay in the background? Because then nobody's focused on me, nobody knows I'm a Christian, so if I mess up, it doesn't really matter. Whereas if people know you're a Christian and then you mess up, strangely enough, people have the habit of pointing the finger and saying, "You're meant to be a Christian, you hypocrite. What on earth are you doing?" And that's what happens, isn't it? Like, who's had that? Anybody? Anybody been on the other side, actually calling the person a hypocrite, you Christian? Yeah, we would best not go there. Now, we can live a good life. We can believe in God. We can even attend church and be a nice person and be a bit of a closet Christian and not actually let anybody know and not actually shine. But the thing is that that may be good, but is that God's best for your life? Does God want more? Does God expect more from us? That it's much more than just being nice. Yeah. It used to get my nerves when I used to give a talk, and you'd be going out and people say, nice sermon, Pastor. And you're just like, oh dear, what have I done? Because you want what you're saying and who you are to change lives, not just to be nice. Now Jesus, what was his intention for his followers? When he sent out his 12, we read in Matthew 10, 5-8, and this is the Message version, which I thought was really great for it. And it says, Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands out with this charge. Don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. Now this wasn't just for the 12. He then said similar things to the 72. And then the final commission, and we read especially in the Gospel of Mark, the commission there is very similar again. He actually wants us today to do the stuff that this is talking about. Okay? This isn't just from some people back in the distant past. This is God's commission. This is Jesus commissioning us. Now let's look at that commission. It's not to go off or whatever, to may not mean going to a different place. It could be just local, to our own neighbourhood. It may not have to be some dramatic standing up against some public enemy of some form. But it's just going to the people nearby. It's going to our neighbours, it's going to our friends, it's going to our work colleagues. And yes, it could be further afield, but it doesn't have to be. But let's look at the next bit. Tell them that the kingdom is here. What's that? Tell them that Jesus is actually real and can make a change in our lives. And that he, in his rightful place, should be in charge. Bring health to the sick. How often are we praying for those who are ill? And not just praying for them, but expecting God to actually heal them. This is real. This is today. God does heal. And it doesn't have to be something massive, dramatic in your face. It's just simply often to be there and pray for people. Raise the dead. I've not yet done that one. Anyone offering today?
No.
No. So, raise the dead. Now, I know somebody who has, but not anybody local. They're actually out in Africa, but you see things a little bit more there because people seem to be a bit more open. But raise the dead. This is the command of Jesus. Touch the untouchables. Be compassionate. Those who are struggling, those who are having difficulty, stretching out your hand in compassion and being loving. I think it's amazing that that's on the same list as these more dramatic things. It's not just about these massive miracles, it's about being caring and loving. Kick out the demons. That's good. And that is reality, is we're in a battle. Demons do exist. They're a little bit more in disguise in this country at times, but they are there. And they are influencing people's lives and bringing bondage to people, addictions, and also they're bringing destruction into people's lives where the only way out is suicide for them and things like that. That's demonic. And yes, there's mental health. That's different. But there is also demonic. God's blessed you so much. You've been treated generously, so live generously. We get to do the stuff. We get to shine with the glory of God. Can we bring God's light into others' lives? Are we shining? Are we stepping up? Do you want to step up to the next level? Do you want to leave behind your own self-imposed limitations? See that? Self-imposed limitations. God's not limiting us. It's ourselves who are doing the limiting. Step up in the power of God's Spirit. When we read the story of Peter at Easter, and that's what we've been doing in the past 3 Sundays we've met, we see a guy who was scared, Peter. We see a guy who has seen amazing things that Jesus has done, yet things take a turn for the worst. And a little young servant girl questions him and says, "Weren't you a follower of Jesus?" And Peter says, no, I don't know him. Okay, that doesn't look like a very confident guy to me. But even a little girl questioning him, and he can't even stand and say, "Actually, I know Jesus." Yet this same Peter, who couldn't even stand up to a little girl, a little servant girl, on the day of Pentecost stood up in front of thousands of people in public, did declare who Jesus is, and saw over 3,000 become Christian on that day. What happened? Where's the change? The change is what actually happened if we read that passage of what happened at Pentecost. Is that Peter and the rest of the disciples were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Recently, in a small group, we've been reading Passport Course. And in that course, we read about a guy called D.L. Moody. And you may have heard about Moody and Sankey, the hymn writers and all these. Now, D.L. Moody, he was back in the 1870s, 1800s, that type period of time, way before my time. I'm not going to go there with other people, but definitely well before my time. But D.L. Moody was converted. He became a Christian. He was passionate to see people become Christians. And he worked and he worked and he worked, preaching the message of Jesus everywhere, to normally a couple of thousand people at a time were hearing his message, and people were becoming Christians. But he was so tiring himself out, and he was wearing down himself. He was getting burnt out himself. He was wearing down even the horses he was going around on, where he had to change horses because he was taking them too great distances. And even the people that were trying to follow him and actually help him were getting worn down by the rate at which he was doing things. And then in 1871, there were two women sat at the front where he was preaching. And afterwards, those two women came to him and said, "We've been praying for you." And it's like, "What are you doing praying for me? There's all those people out there that need your prayers, not me." And then the women said, "No, we've been praying for you to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit." And he realized that he was empty, that he was working from a place of his own strength, not the strength of God. And he started to seek more of the Holy Spirit in his life. And he had an experience of being overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit and later wrote, I was all the time tugging and carrying water, but now I have a river that carries me. I was all the time tugging and carrying water, but now I have a river that carries me. He then went on to reach hundreds of thousands in both the US and England because he moved from relying upon his own strength, his own abilities, to step into God's ability and God's strength. So the way to step up from our own fears, our own inabilities, is to move into God's abilities, and that happens through being overwhelmed, being filled, however you want to call it, by the Holy Spirit. Now, when we first accept Jesus into our lives, we receive the Holy Spirit. And I just want to make this clear, every person who accepts Jesus receives the Holy Spirit into their lives. There's not classes of Christians. We are Christians. We've been accepted by God. We have the Holy Spirit if we've accepted Jesus as Lord and as Saviour. What we're talking about here is being filled. It's being overwhelmed again and again and again to greater and greater levels. And this is the thing where people think, when they can get a bit too focused on the whole concept of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's been allowing the Holy Spirit into greater and greater and greater levels and allowing Him to work in us to greater and greater and greater levels. It's letting go of control and allowing God's Spirit to permeate our very being and have access to all areas of our lives. That's what it's about. Being filled with the Holy Spirit brings greater intimacy and also greater power. But we start in that place of intimacy, and that's the focus. And yes, God's power comes through His Spirit as well. We feel God's presence closer. We enjoy Him and He enjoys us. We hear His voice clearer, recognize His promptings and guidance more. We're also empowered with His boldness, His words and His gifts to both share and demonstrate His love to those who don't yet know Him. We also find that as we allow Him to take more control of our lives and to work in our lives to greater and greater levels, that areas of sin and bondage in our own lives are overcome. It's not, you've got to deal with that side before God's Spirit will work in you. No, it's God's Spirit works in you and that gives you the power to overcome those things. It's getting the order right. So, I've got a question for you all. In a normal way, at Waypoint, is we pose a question for people to actually talk rather than me doing all the talking. And to discuss a question. And the nice and easy question today is, what do you think can limit a person from receiving more of the Holy Spirit? You've got 2 minutes. So turn to somebody nearby and have a chat. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. If there are fears inside of letting go, of what will happen. Now, one thing, God doesn't barge in. God is a gentleman. He waits to be invited. And even as you allow him in, you're still the one who is actually still in control to a level, because you're allowing him. Step up to God's level. That's what we're talking about here. What level are you on today? Now just think about your walk with God. Just think about your connection with his Holy Spirit. Your reception to his voice. Where are you today? How well are you hearing his voice? How well are you seeing what he's involved in? And how willing are you to allow him to guide you and actually do things through you? What level are you on today? Now God calls us on to his level, to see through his eyes and do things through his power. And this isn't a one-time event. It is a lifestyle. We read Acts 4:29-31. It says, "Now, Lord," this is a prayer of the disciples, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, a question here. This is Acts 4, okay? This is after Pentecost. At Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is later on, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit again. It's not a one-time event. It is a continual lifestyle. If we read Ephesians 5:18, we read, "Be filled with the Spirit." And in the Greek language, this "be filled" isn't just a one-time "be filled." It's "keep on being filled," is a better translation from the original Greek. John 7:37-38, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." This is going back to what D.L. Moody said. He's too busy. He was carrying buckets, basically, from the well. Whereas now he's got the living water, the river, inside carrying him. Are we wanting that? Are we wanting to actually step up and start shining as the glory of God is living within us and working through us? Are we wanting to go up to the next level? And to be honest, unless, like, I'm thinking myself, when I was preparing this, I found that I was convicted just by preparing this talk. Because I want to go to the next level myself. I'm not happy with the status quo at the moment in my life. I hunger for more. I hunger for more of God's Spirit. Why? Because I so desire so much more intimacy with God. And also, I desire to see the power of God touching the lives of people around me. I'm wanting to see more people being healed as I'm praying for them. I'm wanting to even see the dead rise. I hope I don't have to face that, but I also want to see people freed from bondage, people freed from demonic influences, people freed and actually released to actually be who God intended them to be. And that's just me. I want to go to the next level. And strangely enough, if God's level is up here, I don't think I'm about here. I think I'm a way, 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 way down here compared to God's level. There is so much more. So today, where are we? What level are you on? Are you still bound by the limitations of your own inabilities? Or have you moved into that place of God's ability working through you? Are you still tugging and carrying water? Or are you now being carried by the living river of God? Whose strength and ability are you relying on? Today, are we willing to let go? Are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit to overwhelm us? To be intimate, to be close, and also to empower in the area of ministry that God's called us to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to say sorry for putting limitations on you. We want to say sorry. We thank you that you desire us to come up to your level. You desire greater intimacy. And you desire to release more of your boldness, more of your power through your Holy Spirit, through our lives and in our lives. And we're sorry for restricting you. And we pray, Lord, now, Lord, that we can just draw a line and step up and be counted. To step up to what you have called us to be and to do. To step up into that intimate relationship and to step up into your ministry to those people around us that we know. So we just pray, Lord, that as we spend more time with you now, Lord, that you would overwhelm us. We want to give you permission in this place. We want to give you freedom in this place to fill us, to overwhelm us. Lord, may we shine as your sons and daughters. Empowered by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen.